You're with Stateside. I'm Mercedes Mejia, sitting in for April Baer. If you've been looking for Spanish language news in Michigan, you might have noticed there's not a lot out there. In mid-Michigan, two Latinx reporters have teamed up to produce a new weekly Spanish language podcast. It's called ¿Qué onda, Michigan? Or What's Happening, Michigan? Joining me from Lansing are co-hosts Michelle Jokish-Polo. She's WKAR Public Radio's Latinx reporter. And Araceli Crescencio. She's a reporter at WLNS-TV. Michelle, Araceli, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Michelle, I want to start with you. How would you describe the podcast?
It's a weekly roundup of the news that's most important to the Latinx community in Michigan. So we really focus on, you know, things that are not just affecting Latinx communities broadly, but things that they need to know today or this week.
Right.
So that could be like COVID-19 health orders that maybe haven't been translated into Spanish or explained in Spanish. And Araceli and I really take the time to talk about what they mean and what they mean for the Latinx community, for the Spanish-speaking Latinx community as they, you know, go about their lives.
Well, we know that stories about people of color historically have been underrepresented in the media. In addition to the story that, you know, the COVID that you just mentioned, what other stories did you want to cover that you felt were not represented, you know, in the media in the past?
You know, most recently we did a story about pride in the Latinx community and what that means and solidarity within communities of color. And personally, I don't think I've ever like seen a story like that locally, a story that specifically highlights queer Latinx people who are talking about this and talking about how to celebrate pride and the history behind pride through the lens of a Latinx person.
You know, there's more conversations happening in the Latino community around LGBTQ issues, but you know, there's still some taboo in the community, would you say, around talking about those issues?
I would say so. I think that it's still a difficult conversation that people are having. I think that queer people in our community are still struggling to have those conversations with family members and to feel accepted. I don't think that the status quo within our community is to accept queer people. But I, you know, I'm excited. I think like the millennial and the Gen Z generation is really embracing queerness in a way that like our parents didn't. Wouldn't you agree, Araceli?
I would say so too. I think that nowadays I hear more conversations of how can I help or how can I understand better, as opposed to completely shutting down or shutting down conversations that might help understand each other a little bit more.
Yeah. Araceli, you're a reporter at WLNS-TV. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, just your backstory a little?
Yeah, of course. So I was born in Compton, California. I lived there for a couple of years before moving to Nashville, Tennessee. And so now I kind of say Nashville is my home because I lived there for a majority of my life. But I kind of graduated from college and was looking for a place to go. And I was in between a couple of different job choices. But when I spoke to my current boss here at WLNS, it just seemed like the right fit. Initially, I thought I'd see myself covering a border town somewhere in El Paso doing bilingual journalism. But then my boss here in Michigan mentioned that the opportunity to do that would still be available. It got me thinking about the Midwest Latinx community and how I could help bring some news or help share information. And I think it was during the pandemic when sharing news in Spanish really became something that became feasible. We started doing a Spanish update with local news, and that's kind of how I started reporting actually in Spanish, aside from English, here in Michigan.
And it's a Spanish cast called Actualización en Español. So yeah, why was it important to you to start creating this content specifically for Spanish speakers?
Yeah, so starting March, everything kind of went into overload, right? There was news changing constantly, and trying to explain things to my own parents seemed very difficult. We saw a lot of flyers and pamphlets in English and telling you how to stay safe, like practice social distancing, wear a mask. And a lot of those things weren't being translated in Spanish or hearing from my own family members, they didn't really know what safety protocols to follow. And then one day my boss kind of came up to me and was like, what do you think about doing something in Spanish every day? And that's how it started. So from March, I think for a couple of months, I think it was about 6 months, I was working every day doing a Spanish update Monday through Friday. So that was really interesting, kind of having to balance my own work duties while also having to do the Spanish update. But it was a lot of fun, and it was really empowering to see so many people kind of using it. And it kind of went farther than just Lansing, right? I heard people in Grand Rapids listening to it, or people from Detroit just kind of saying, thanks for sharing this. And so that made it all worthwhile.
For sure. So how did you two meet? And then how did the podcast come together, Michelle?
Yeah, so when I got hired into my current job last August, and when I got hired into that job, I got hired as a Latinx Stories reporter. When I got started in my career, I started reporting out of a Spanish-speaking newspaper in Michigan. So I was really passionate about getting news into my community. And when I got hired into the job, I started researching, like, what other news media is out there in mid-Michigan, and stumbled upon Araceli, and I just DM'd her and I said, hey, like, we're both kind of covering same things. You know, I started retweeting some of her tweets, showing support to the work that she was doing. And I was really, really excited to see all the work that she had put into not just like her reporting in Spanish, but like her other reporting and her focus. I really, really appreciate the lens that Araceli takes in her stories. And, you know, the rest is history. I think then we started having discussions with my station about what it would mean to have a podcast in Spanish. And I really didn't want to duplicate what Araceli was already doing. You know, I think that what she's doing serves a purpose and the community really, really appreciates it. And I wanted to see if her and I could collaborate in providing additional news, additional analysis, additional reporting. And I think both of us as journalists were really passionate about news reporting, about, you know, what that means for our community, not just presenting the facts, but providing an analysis of that. And that has been our vision for the podcast since it began. And it was definitely, you know, a couple months in the making. We didn't just get up one day and start writing scripts and start recording. It took a little bit for us to get our groove. But I think now we, you know, kind of know what we're doing a little bit more than before. And it serves as a complementary work to Araceli's work as well.
And I'm just curious, how receptive was your newsroom in doing this Spanish language podcast?
Our newsroom was really, really receptive. They were really excited. There is a large Latinx community in mid-Michigan, and many of them are in positions of power. And many of them want to see news for about their community that's told by their community. So far, we've really received positive reviews, not just from the news station, but also from the Latinx community and the Spanish-speaking Latinx community in mid-Michigan. As far as like the collaboration with Araceli, that was something that was like solidified in the beginning and was something that we really wanted it to be a partnership, a balanced partnership. And because so many of us are very used to doing things for free and, you know, getting asked to translate things or sort of as in addition to our jobs. And we didn't want this partnership to be like that. We wanted it to be like a balanced partnership where her skills are truly valued, because they are. Her time is valued.
I would echo that sentiment as well. I think sometimes it gets tricky when you go to your workstation and can I work for a different station or a competitor station? But WLNS, they said yes, and they were all on board when I talked to them about the idea of kind of having a podcast with WKAR. And we kind of think of them as an affiliate or a sister kind of radio station as opposed to a competitor here in mid-Michigan.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Michelle Jokic-Polo and Araceli Crescencio, both news reporters and now also co-hosts of ¿Qué Onda Michigan?, a Spanish language podcast. We hear most often from the Latinx communities in Detroit and in West Michigan. Can you talk a bit about the Latinx community in mid-Michigan?
Yeah, I think it is a resilient bunch. I was very surprised when I moved to Lansing and the East Lansing area to see a group so strong in their advocacy and in their work. It was surprising to kind of drive through the streets and see a Cesar Chavez street. And reading the work behind that, it took a very big group to kind of go to the city clerk and kind of fight for the right to have that street in honor of Cesar Chavez, of course. And then just reading around and looking at the community, I think there's lots of work being done to highlight local businesses and meeting people in the community. You just get a sense that they're proud of their culture and want to kind of share a little bit more with the greater Lansing area. So it's been great to kind of hear and see the stories of people here. And then also, it is a university town, so you have a lot of people doing great work at MSU, especially helping migrant farm workers. It was great to hear about the MSU Camp project and organization that kind of helps sons and daughters of migrant farm workers get a degree. And so it's just so much happening here that doesn't get shared, I guess, statewide or even across the country or even in Michigan. So I think there's lots happening here and so many stories to be told.
Yeah. I'd like to ask both of you, are there stories about Spanish-speaking communities and communities of immigrants that you think American media missed this year?
I would say so, yes. There's so many stories, especially during the pandemic. And this is something Araceli and I have talked about extensively, is like, who were the people that were, working in the fields while the rest of us were able to stay home? And we had to stay home, you know, that was the mandate.
Right. I would just add even the processing plants as well.
Correct. You know, those kind of stories, telling those, what was it like during the pandemic to have to go to work? And it was not just, you know, during the pandemic, and like thinking of the pandemic, but at that time, we didn't really know much about COVID-19. We know so much more now and how to protect ourselves. And just think of last year when we didn't know much, and migrant farm workers and folks working at egg processing plants, you know, different places, poultry factories, and not knowing how to protect themselves. And not just that, maybe not even having the power to advocate for themselves, to protect themselves. I think lately, we've seen a lot of folks who got COVID-19 file for lawsuits against their employers in Michigan for not being protected. And I don't really think that those stories are being told in the mainstream media. I haven't really heard much of that plight and that self-advocacy from migrant farm workers that is taking place in Michigan.
Yeah.
And even when it came to kind of getting vaccines and getting the population vaccinated, I think not a lot of people thought about the first essential workers that were there on the front lines. And a lot of them were migrant farm workers and people kind of helping us get the food that we eat every day. They weren't on the priority list for vaccines. They came a little bit later. And so those are some of the things that I think mainstream media missed, as well as just kind of thinking about my own family and seeing how missing one day of work would really impact them. It was essential for them to kind of be able to get some money to feed their families. And so I think that's where a lot of room for exploitation kind of takes place.
Right. Well, this just makes me wonder, do you think non-Latinx folks in Michigan are aware of the communities and the stories that are here? The ones that you just mentioned?
I think some people are. I mean, those people that are like directly adjacent to those communities. But, you know, I think it's hard. I think when we think of like everyone has been struggling in the pandemic, many people lost jobs, not just like Latinx people or people of color. A lot of people struggle during the pandemic. So it's hard to like focus during this time of think of like most affected, most impacted individuals. So I guess it's 50-50, you know. Some people who are adjacent to those communities, who are working side by side with those communities, are aware of what's happening, but not everyone. And I think that's also another purpose of our podcast, to say like, these are issues in our community that matter and deserve to take up space.
Well, ¿Qué Onda Michigan comes out each Friday at 3. How do you decide what stories you'll cover each week?
That's a conversation between Araceli and I, and we take a look at like what's going on in the headlines, what's being talked about in the Latinx community right now, this week, and who are the people making moves? You know, like, for example, this week we'll be talking to Lansing baseball player, Javier Cavazos, and he is being inducted into the Michigan Hall of Fame. And that's a big deal. You know, how many Latinx people across the country can be able to say, you know, I've been inducted in the Hall of Fame. I'm like the only Latino here. And we want to be telling those stories. So that's a little bit of background of how we do it.
Yeah. And I think we also think about who is available, right? And who can speak Spanish. Our podcast is fully in Spanish. And so it creates another avenue for people who kind of want to have their news told in the language that they feel more comfortable in. We prioritize that, right? Making sure that our audience kind of can get the content that they want in the language that they want. So it's important to have people in places that are also bilingual. And so we've been fortunate enough to find really great guests, but that also kind of creates a difficulty, especially when you talk about statewide and having to find translators and those kinds of things. But it's kind of the way we're moving, right? Our culture and our nation is super multicultural, and we're going to have to start thinking of ways to communicate with every sector of our population.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the fact that I love that some of your guests on the podcast are bilingual. They're code switching, using both Spanish and English in their description of whatever they're talking about. It just seems so true to the Latin American experience, don't you think?
Yes, I think it's really interesting. For me, my brain thinks in English and then I translate in Spanish. And sometimes there's a couple words that get butchered in between, but the point gets across. All of my cousins kind of talk that way and we all communicate that way. So it's really interesting to see more people in positions of power kind of also have similar dialect as I do.
How do you guys talk to each other?
Spanglish, definitely. I think sometimes we'll start a conversation in English and then we'll be like, oh yeah, and like keep going in Spanish. And it just, like Araceli was saying, like it just feels like I'm talking to my sister. When I talk to my sister, we talk in Spanish and English and fill in different, you know, words if we don't know a word or whatnot. And that's how it feels when I'm with Araceli. Like it just like, you know, like if she was my sister, like I'm just talking to someone that really knows how my brain works.
Yeah. And I hope that gets across to the audience where we're all kind of like a family and we're all in it together.
Who are you hoping you'll find audience with going forward with the podcast?
Our hope is that the Spanish-speaking, like Spanglish-speaking community like ourselves and maybe even like older generations are able to turn to the podcast and say, oh, that's where I go to get the news that I need, the analysis that I need. That's not just international focus, because our focus isn't international, it's local.
That's a good point. A lot of the news that's out there, whether like the Spanish language newspapers, tend to focus on what's happening in Latin America and less about what's happening locally.
Yeah, certainly. I think when you look at big newspapers, you hear big headlines, even if it's Latin America, Mexico, or even just United States national headlines, there's a big missing hole in terms of filling local news in Spanish. I think a lot of communities get local news in English, and that's great, but there's a lot of work to be done in terms of being able to satisfy every community's needs.
Well, I guess my final question is, how has it been finding community with each other as Latina reporters in Mid-Michigan?
I would say, you know, like Araceli and I we're both different. You know, I think it's important to say like the Latinx community is very diverse and we've had different experiences in school and college, education, you know, whatever it is. And our friendship and our community sort of reflects that, reflects how diverse the Latinx community is and the importance of talking about that diversity, because it affects us all very differently depending on where we come from, what we look like, and the access that we've had.
When I first met Michelle, it was kind of like a butterfly feeling when you meet like a new friend and you get excited. I mean, it's just really great to have someone you can relate to and talk to and also kind of share the same profession with.
Well, the fourth episode comes out today. You can listen to WKAR's new Spanish language podcast on their website or look for it at NPR One. Just search for ¿Qué Onda Michigan? I've been speaking with WKAR's Latinx Stories reporter and Weekend Edition host, Michelle Jokish-Polo, and Araceli Crescencio. She's a reporter with WLNS-TV in Lansing, serving Mid-Michigan. Michelle Araceli, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.